This conference is being recorded.
All right. I am way super excited right now because on the line is my BFF. That's right, my best friend forever. And this is a person that makes multiple seven figures. And I'm talking about like multiple seven figures. And has just been crushing it in the fitness industry for the last at least half a decade. It's destroying it. This is probably the top of the top, highest, greatest, most awesomest fitness marketer, fitness professional I've ever met in my entire life, my best friend, Pedro Kulian.
Wow, dude. Hey, that's quite the announcement. Thank you, my beautiful best friend.
You got it, man. I actually cut it down. I was going to go on for longer, but... In the interest of time, I had to cut it down.
I had to cut it down from 20 paragraphs down to 3.
Right. I just saw the cliff notes.
That's funny.
So, all right, hey, my man, real quick, can you get just like a 2-minute backstory of like kind of how it came to be from you living in the back of a pickup truck to making multiple seven figures in a short time, just like a quick backstory?
Sure. And the backstory is pretty much this, and a lot of people have heard it, but there's enough people who haven't heard it, so it's worth repeating. Back in 1996, I decided that I was going to get into personal training after dropping out of college, and I just realized college wasn't for me. Actually, all of school, elementary school, junior high school, none of that was for me. I barely eked through any of that. And after dropping out, I became a personal trainer and realized that getting clients is the toughest thing you could do, man. As most personal trainers, I became a trainer because fitness had changed my life. I used to be a fat kid, and getting in shape was just a complete different, mental paradox change for me. And so I wanted to help more people experience that. But how do you get clients? And so before you know it, I found myself to be homeless through some bad money managing decisions. Basically, one of the things was, well, since I can't get enough clients to have a full-time personal training gig, maybe I had to start selling supplements online. And at the time, it wasn't like dropship supplements. I actually ordered supplements from a wholesaler, put it in my spare bedroom in my apartment, and attempted to sell these supplements online. Now, this was before like there was Google search engine domination techniques and all that stuff. So before the big bubble burst in 2000. And I maxed out my credit cards, and so the supplements would expire, and I would just end up throwing them away because you can't sell expired supplements. And before you know it, I realized I didn't have enough money for rent, and one thing led to another, and this personal trainer found himself homeless, living out of the back of a 79 Toyota pickup long bed, bright yellow with a nice yellow camper shell, which really isn't too bad when you're in Southern California. The only challenge is that little seal where the camper shell meets the rooftop of the cab of the Toyota pickup there. That little seal was kind of withering away, and every time it would rain, I would have like little raindrops falling on my toes. But you know what? Hey, that's life, and that happened. And you fast forward a few years after that, I found myself back on my feet. I was a personal trainer still the whole time. It was just a couple, 3 months that I was living out of that Toyota pickup and continued as a personal trainer. One particular client one day handed me a tape from Tom Hopkins. And Tom Hopkins is this old school sales trainer. And I listened to Tom Hopkins and I realized that, oh my gosh, I was only selling personal training to people who bought, who were ready to buy, not people who were on the fence or people who were undecided. And so I realized I was more of an order taker than a person selling training. So lo and behold, Tom Hopkins led to Brian Tracy. Brian Tracy led to Jay Abraham to Dan Kennedy. Dan Kennedy to Gary Halbert, et cetera. Before you know it, I'm understanding sales, marketing, persuasion, conversion, upsells, back-end sales, and all this stuff. And I was really starting to, like, really kick butt. And, of course, another client of mine gave me the seed money to open up a personal training facility. And that kind of sprouted to 5 facilities over a couple of years. And before you know it, people were asking me how I did it. And I found myself coaching other personal trainers on how I did it. Created an online personal training software called High Tech Trainer. A lot of people have heard of that one. And that, of course, led to another piece of online software called FitPro Newsletter. Thousands of trainers use that now. information products, live events, and so here we are. I just fast forwarded through a whole decade. I'm on the phone with my best friend ever, and we're chilling.
Awesome, man, dude. Thanks for that. Hey, bro, so in your opinion, what do you think the key is to making a major positive change in your business? Like from going to just average to a superstar, what's the key to that?
You know what? The key to like going from average to a superstar is really like getting into your own head and realizing that you want it, one, that you deserve it, two, and that you're capable of getting it, three. And a lot of people like really say, well, I want it. Well, why do you want it? And they spout out the same thing over and over. Well, I want the freedom. I don't want anyone to ever be my boss and tell me what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Well, that's great. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants to be able to work on their own schedule. Everybody wants to be able to work remotely and push a button and make a ton of money or have 15, 20 trainers working for them. However, why do you want it? The reason why is what's always missing in people, and they're so general about it. And now for me, the reason why was I never wanted to see my kids in a daycare because I grew up with my parents where they were always so busy that I pretty much was a latchkey kid. And, you know, if I wasn't at home, somebody else was watching me. And so to me, that was a big, big component in my life. I didn't want my kids to be in daycare. I always wanted the freedom to be able to do what I want, when I want, because I had been fired from so many jobs for the most ridiculous things. One job I got fired from, my sideburns were actually below my earlobes. And other times I would defy authority simply by saying, no, you know what, I think things should be this way and not that way. It was still for the benefit of the business. But I realized that I'm not a good soldier. I need to be more of a general giving orders. And so I decided for myself that, hey, there's a better way to do it. No one else deserves it more than I do. I'm a hard worker, and my reasons why to me were compelling enough. I don't want someone to have authority over me, and I don't ever want my kids to live in a daycare or to have to like be in a daycare for 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day. And so when that clicks, you all of a sudden start doing the extraordinary things, and you stop being ordinary, and that's really the difference. You start doing the extraordinary things. Like when you're tired, you go, you know what? I've made a list of things I got to do today, and if it takes another 4 hours, I'm going to do it. And so whether you go out and you go on a run or you go work out and you come back with more energy and you do it, as opposed to the ordinary person who goes, you know what? I'm tired. I think I'm just going to turn on Seinfeld and watch that. And so you fast forward, the person who does the extraordinary things after 12 months, you know what? They do work hard. They put in the extra 2, 3, 4 hours a night. And the person who says this best is Gary Vaynerchuk, right? The guy has a $26 million a year business, Wine Library TV. And he says, you want the millies, you got to work hard. You want the billies, you got to bleed. And that's really true. And if you are really, really committed to having freedom, having multiple six figures, even seven figures, hey, why don't you bleed a little bit? Work your balls off, and when you do, it's only temporary because getting up to that speed is hard work. Maintaining that speed is actually relatively easy, and I know you know this because when you come here, more than half the time, we're pretty much kicking back and goofing off, and then we'll dial it in, work for a couple hours, and then we'll call it a day. So that's really it. Just go from being ordinary to extraordinary. Do the things that others won't do, and you have the things that others won't have.
Oh, man, that was awesome, dude. Hey, let me ask you this. Do you ever feel fear and doubt? Like, do you ever just get like that, oh, man, feeling? Like I don't know if I can do this.
Oh, absolutely. Who doesn't have fear and doubt? You know what I mean? Who doesn't fear it? And there's some days that you wake up and you have a little more doubt than others, and you have a little more fear than others. And look, for me, I run two software products, and I might wake up in the morning time, and all of a sudden one of our software products is down, and I have a lot of fear and doubt going through my head. But the difference is I accept the fear, I accept the doubt, I look at it in the eye, and I literally just tell myself, like, all right, I've got a problem. I need to solve it. Because if I just sit on it and fear about it and doubt about it, nothing's going to happen. It's only going to get bigger. It's only going to get worse. And again, that's what most people do. That's what the ordinary person does. They experience fear. They start hand-wringing. They start talking to their friends and family about the fear they're experiencing. And the more you talk about and surround yourself with the shit that's happening with you, the more it's going to happen. You know what? Start talking about, like, how the flu and how the cold virus is all over the place. I guarantee you within a week of you talking about the cold and the flu all the time, you're going to get the flu and the cold. On the flip side, You know, you talk about how healthy you are, how strong you are, how mentally balanced you are, and guess what happens? Your subconscious finds a way to get you healthy, balanced, and strong. And so basically, we all wake up with fear and doubt, and we all have days where fear and doubt are stronger than others. But again, the ordinary is going to hand-wring about it, dwell on it, talk about it, which is only going to get bigger. The extraordinary will say, you know what, I've got a problem. I need to solve it. And they'll sit down, they'll make an action plan of how to solve it, and they'll go at it.
Hey, let me ask you this. Let's switch gears for a second. How do you go about setting goals? What's your strategy for setting for goal setting?
That's a good question. My strategy used to be real general. It used to be like, you know what? I want to make a lot of money. I want to live in a big house, and I want to take a lot of vacations. Well, that's pretty general. These days, it's a lot more specific. I can tell you that I want 10 rental properties, and right now I've got 3. I can tell you that I wanted a really giant house on this street, and I've got a really giant house on Medler Lane in Chino Hills, exactly where I wanted it. And the more specific I've become, the better. But not only that, what you've got to do as well is you've got to set short-term goals. So where I might say, hey, look, I want 10 rental properties because, and the reason I want rental properties, by the way, Steve, is anytime I try and invest money in the stock market, it's like the shittiest stock ever to invest in. So if you ever want to know what to invest in, just invest in the opposite that I do and you'll make a lot of money on the stock market. I can tell you that. So I figured, you know what? Hey, homes, they're not making any more dirt. The earth is what it is. And it actually ends up working for me. You put a tenant in there, and before you know it, after 15, 20 years, the house is worth more than you paid for it. Look at that. So I set the long-term goals of 10 homes, let's say, in the next 10 years, right? And so the short-term goal is, hey, every year I'm going to buy a home. So if every year I'm going to buy a rental property, what do I need to do to get that? Well, I'm probably going to need to put at least 20, 25, 30% down. So how much money is that going to be? If the average house is $400,000, and I may need to put $80,000 to $100,000 down with closing costs. Well, what do I need to do to produce an extra $100,000 each year to buy a home? Well, I need to launch new businesses and products or grow my list to accommodate that extra $100,000. So you can see, like, I'm kind of reverse constructing this. It went from 10 homes in 10 years to one home a year. But to do that, the short-term goal is I need an extra $100,000 a year. And to get that extra $100,000, the next short-term goal is I need to create a new product that will help me generate $8,333 a month. Talk about a shorter-term goal. And for that to happen, I need to generate an extra, what is it, $2,000-something is $1 million. I need to generate, I think it's something like $400 a day or something to have that extra $100,000. So starts with the big long-term goals and then set each specific goal shorter and shorter. And as long as I know I'm generating an extra $484 or $487 a day, in addition to what I'm generating today, I've got that next house covered.
Nice. Hey, do you ever feel overwhelmed?
Yes, yes. In fact, right now, we've got the Fit Body Bootcamp World Conference coming. We've got Fitness Business Summit coming. We're leaving tomorrow for Las Vegas for our Info Marketing Mastermind Group. We have 3 products in the pipeline to launch, more coaching programs to launch. Do I feel overwhelmed at times? Absolutely. But you know what I love about that is I think about all the people who aren't overwhelmed or they're overwhelmed with all the wrong problems, like they don't have a job, they don't have income, they don't have revenue, and I'm thankful about it. So, yeah, do I feel overwhelmed at times? Sure. What do I do with it? I actually count my blessings. And no matter how bad it is, like when you're handed chicken shit, my whole thing is, can you make chicken salad out of it? So if I'm overwhelmed by my server going down and so my software product that makes me a ton of money isn't making me a ton of money right now, what do? I go back into solution mode. So the problem to everything for me is be solution-oriented and be extraordinary. So whether I wake up with fear or doubt or being overwhelmed or depressed, I think back to solution. What can I do to solve it and bring it back to homeostasis? And typically when I ask myself that question, by the time I get out of the shower, my subconscious has given me the answers. Now it's a matter of me being extraordinary, putting fear and doubt aside and being overwhelmed aside, and then taking action to go back to the normal lifestyle that I have.
That's awesome, man. I think that goes for, like, every relationship. Like, you know, instead of complaining about things, have every conversation be solution-based.
Totally.
You know, like whether it's a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, and business partner, it doesn't matter. Like, I think that's just such a great way to think.
Dude, you know why? And check this out. As humans, I think we love gossip, and we love to talk and talk and talk about all the things that are bothering us. But the problem is, as long as you love to talk gossip and as long as you love to explain the pain that you're in and the devastation you're in and how overwhelmed you are and how life is screwing you over, you're only going to experience more devastation, more pain, and you're going to get screwed over more and more and deeper. So eventually you got to stop talking about it and say, you know what, how about a solution and do something about it. And that's really the difference. Again, the difference between the ordinary and the extraordinary, which is really the top 2% of population.
Hey, I know that, and pretty much everybody knows that to grow, you got to get out of your comfort zone. But sometimes certain things are like, you get that knot in your stomach, and you're just like, oh, man, you know. A lot of people turn and just don't do it. What do you do to get out of your comfort zone when you need to do something like that?
Huh, that's a good question. What do I do to get out of my comfort zone? Huh. You know what? Well, go ahead. Tell me, because I think you've got.
I was gonna say, can you think of an example of like the last time that you were really uncomfortable and you needed to push through it?
Yes. Yeah. You know what? Let me give you that exact real world experience. 2 weeks ago, I was speaking at Yannick Silver's Underground Online Seminar. Now, typically, when I speak at a seminar, it's usually one of my seminars, and I'll have anywhere from 300 to 400 personal trainers. And these are personal trainers who are my clients, who I know pretty well, actually, because I've talked to them on the phone, via email, you know, on the blog. So when I'm on stage, I don't have the typical, like, fear that I would if I was on a different stage. Well, so there I am in Washington, D.C. There's something like between 800 and 1,000, like, internet marketers. And you have all these people walking up to you even before you're going to speak, 2 days before, telling you, oh, yeah, hey, you're that Bedros guy. Well, you know, I've been following you, and you're doing amazing things. And so all these people are putting this pressure on you. And you want to perform for Yannick because you want to obviously make a good impression. And the fear of getting on stage talking in front of people that I've never, ever, ever met. I mean, I knew like 9 people out of the entire audience, and these were the 9 trainers who actually are from my list when I promoted the event, came to it, and it was great. But so the thing I did to get out of that comfort, to obviously really break out of my comfort zone, other than obviously trying to fake an illness and not speak, was I went back to my hotel room, and I just had this little talk with myself, and I was like, I'm a champion, I'm a winner, and I love myself, and I can do this. And the reason that works for me is because it's the goofiest thing ever. And somebody, I think Brian Tracy is the first person I heard this from, Incantations, and he's like, you know what? When you want to overcome something, just make yourself laugh. Because when you make yourself laugh, you really like start getting all these different like chemical releases in your body that kind of soothe you and calm you. And he was talking about how he stands in a corner and he goes, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself. And he does that until he starts giggling and laughing at how goofy it is. So what I'm doing is that little skit from Saturday Night Live, the Stuart Smalley, where he's like, I like myself, I'm a champion, and by golly, I deserve it. And I just went literally back to my room and I just started doing goofy things to make myself laugh. Because I know I was prepared. I have a killer PowerPoint. I know my information is solid because I'm living proof of making multiple 7 figures on the internet, so I know I could teach these people that. But it was just getting out in front of this group and teaching them what I know. And it was all this mental state that I was dwelling on. And a comfort zone, breaking out of your comfort zone, is just this mental state that you're in that, again, you dwell on. And so if you can change your perception and start thinking about something else and make yourself laugh and giggle and release different chemicals into your body, I really believe that that kind of helps you break out of your comfort zone. Now, that's just part one. Part two, and which is the whole other component, is you just got to get out there and do it. Sometimes you just need to be pushed in the water, and you either sink or swim. And most people, like 99% of people, really can swim. They just need to be pushed. You ever seen like a kid like sit standing there at the edge of a pool for like 10 or 15 minutes, just I don't know, I want to jump, and they're in that jumping position. Any minute now, they're going to jump, but they just don't jump, and you're just like, come on, kid, the water's great, the water feels fine. He's doubting himself. He wants to stay in his comfort zone of staying on the curb there, doesn't want to get in the water, and then his buddy walks by and just shoves him right in, and you know what? He's swimming like a dolphin. He enjoys it, and he loves it. He doesn't know why he wasn't in there 20 minutes ago. So you just have to then mentally shove yourself into it, and these days I do that. So I make myself laugh, and then I just throw myself on stage or just do whatever it is that I need to do. And 99% of the time, unless you're just poorly, poorly prepared, you're going to swim and not sink.
Dude, that was awesome, man. That was, you got me so fired up just now just listening to that. Seriously. That was so cool. That was like the best get out of your comfort zone technique I've ever heard.
Huh, take that.
Hey, what do you do to stay focused? To just generally stay focused on all the things that you want to accomplish? Like, what's your ritual for that?
Oh, there is no ritual. It's just, again, having the big prize, which is lifestyle, which is being able to help others. Right now, for example, I love to give back, and I'm a really big fan of giving back to children who really need it the most. So we are, like, one of the biggest small businesses, biggest donators as far as small businesses are concerned for the Shriners Children's Hospital. Every year, twice a year, I have great big sales on all my products, and I donate thousands of dollars, like all the proceeds from those sales to Shriners. And I know that the only way I can deliver thousands of thousands and thousands of dollars to Shriners is if I have enough money that I'm making myself where I can give thousands away. And about 4 months ago, we adopted 6 kids from 6 different countries through Compassion International, and that's been the coolest experience ever, because every other month we get a little letter from them telling us just, you know, how their lives are, where they live, what part of the country, you know, what's going on in their lives. And it's the coolest thing to get like 6 random letters every other month. And so I started thinking, like, how cool would it be if I can get 100? So now my goal is to have 100 kids in 100 different places that we're adopting through Compassion International. And again, for that to happen, I need to stay focused and make myself enough money so that I can help others get what they want, right? So the only way that's going to happen is if I stay focused. So for me, it's about big goals, like setting goals of like helping 100 kids in 100 different places and being one of the biggest contributors to Shriners eventually down the line. And again, for all that to happen, I've got to stay focused. And again, the other component to that is lists. I love lists. And you know this, I've got 2 different lists. One is a big project list that I have, and every project that I'm doing between now and like 2 years from now is on that list. And every time I get an idea about that project, I go to that page and I just scribble it in. And then I have a daily list. So today, before I leave the office, I'll make a list of everything that has to happen tomorrow. Now, tomorrow's a short day for me in the office. We're leaving here like at 11 o'clock to head for Vegas. So between the hours of 9 a.m. and 11, I'm going to have 4 or 5 things to knock out, and I'm going to go through that list, knock them out, so that 11 o'clock when I'm in my car, I don't have to worry about, gosh, did I finish that? What's going to happen? When am I going to make time to finish it over this weekend? I can just focus on my mastermind group this weekend, knowing that my list has been knocked out. So that's been another big component that helps me focus in on the things I'm doing, is making lists.
Awesome, man. Let's shift gears again. Do you ever feel like you ever feel burnt out? Like, man, I'm getting burnt out. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, it does. I believe it happens to anybody, and anyone who says it doesn't happen to them is full of shit, personally. But I think burnout is more of a state of mind than like a physical thing. And really, I found what happens to me is now I've got a burnout prevention system, and here's what it is. Once a month, I make sure that me, my wife, and kids get in the car and we drive somewhere. It could be San Diego for 3 or 4 days. It could be Santa Barbara. It could be anywhere. It could be Arizona. We might get on a plane and fly to Seattle or Florida. Whatever it is, it's just like a short 3, 4, 5 day stint away. And if we do that on a monthly basis, like in, what is it here, in exactly a week from now, we're driving to Big Sur for 4 days. And when you do that, you almost hit that mental reset button. And when you hit that mental reset button and you're away from your computer, in my case, or you're away from your fitness studio, you're away from your clients, you're away from your boot camp, 3-4 days later, you come back with these amazing ideas that you want to implement, and you can't even imagine, like, how is it that I was burnt out? But when you're in the same rut every day, you're in that loop of train my clients, do my marketing, you know, whatever, do my accounting, and then wake up again and train my clients, and then do my workout, and then do my accounting, do my marketing, yeah, you know what, sooner or later you're going to get burnt out. But if you just take a little time away right before that burnout hits, and you just mentally reset yourself, it could be a day or two, it could be 3 to 5 days like it is for me, I'm done, I'm good. I come back with so many ideas, and typically 2 or 3 days into my 5-day getaway, I'm ready to come back and dominate. And like the idea of burnout is not even anywhere near my radar.
Wow, man, that's awesome, dude. Hey, I know you're the master of not just the 80-20 rule, but like of you've created now the 95-5 rule, where you focus on just the 5% of your business that moves the whole thing forward, and you outsource the other 95%, and that's why you're able to, you know, a lot of days goof off so much and then just focus for a minute and get things done. What's your technique for doing that? Like, what advice do you have for people that want that?
That's a really good question. And here's what I figured out some time ago. I was making this big list of everything I have to do in my business. And the reason I was making the list is so that we can have an operations manual of how the whole Culion Corporation runs. And as I'm making the list, I realized, like, holy crap, there's like 112 different things that have to get done. Simple things from like paying the phone bill and the Verizon bill for the internet to writing articles or having articles written for our search engine optimization to writing payroll checks for my two employees to talking to my affiliates and maintaining a good relationship with them to creating products, right? And I could just go on and on. Now, as a personal training business owner or fitness business owner, you know, you've got your own list of things that have to happen every day or every month to keep your business alive. Some things are funner than others. And some things are real big movers of your business than others. I'll give you an example. Like, writing a payroll paycheck, for me, does not move my business forward. It just doesn't, right? Because it's not, there's no way me writing a paycheck or me even writing a note to someone, a handwritten note to someone, is going to move my business forward. However, me writing an email broadcast and sending it out that's compelling, that's entertaining, that's educational, that makes an offer, an email broadcast will make me money. So I quickly realized of all the 112 things that I have to do, about 5% of that list were like the big movers in my business, what I call the big levers. And so what I found is instead of me pulling all 112 levers, which means I'm spread out 112 different ways, what if I can narrow it down to like the top 8 to 10? And that's what I did, and I called it the 5%. And so now the running joke around the office and in my house is, you know, hey, Bedros, this thing is broken. Oh, that's great, but it's not on my 5%. The sprinkler is broken. It's not on my 5%. That needs to be fixed. It's not on my 5%. We've got a TV that's busted in my house, a big, giant, big-screen TV. For 9 months now, I'm not calling anyone to get it fixed because it's not on my 5%. I'll get around to it eventually, but I'm not a big TV watcher, neither is my wife, so we don't care. But it's not on my 5%. I'm not going to do it. So what I encourage everyone to do is make a list of everything you have to do in your business that moves your business forward, either a little bit or a lot. And then circle all the things that are like the big things that you do that only you can do that are the big movers. For me, it's boiled down to 3 things now. Delegate, motivate, and sell. That's it. So by that, I mean I outsource 95% of the stuff to my staff and to our contracted people, right? We have people who, like, do the websites for us and software programming and all that stuff. I delegate all that out. Just because I know how to tweak a WordPress blog and make it into a website doesn't mean I do, because that's not a big moneymaker for me. Writing the sales copy for that website on a Word doc and sending it to my web guy, that's a big mover for me, because I write sales copy that sells. He can't do that. And so once I figured out what my 5% was, and when you figure out what your 5% is, you just only focus your 8-hour day or 10-hour day or 12-hour day on those big levers, on your 5%, dude, you start moving your business forward like at hyper speed. And you just outsource everything else. And it's amazing. You get stressed less. You get really good at what you do, which for me is to delegate, motivate, and sell. And so once you're good at your 5% and you outsource the other 95, life is a lot better. You can goof off with your best friend and then, you know, buckle down for two and a half hours like we did yesterday when we filmed Fit Body Bootcamp Insider and filmed it, knocked it out, got the title, took the cover pictures for the DVD, and we were done. We were done. We were back to, like, talking about Corvettes and eating sushi.
Yeah, that was that. I love that, man. I mean, I love eating sushi and Corvettes, but I love that we can just bust it out and then goof off, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's about finding out what your 5% is. And so many people feel like, well, I'm, you know, the buck stops with me, and so I have to do it all. No, you don't. No, you don't. Why don't you go to Craigslist, find a virtual assistant that you can pay like $9 an hour, and have them do all the goofy things like scheduling the clients, reminding the clients of a seminar you're doing, and all the little things that you do that aren't necessarily big movers but still have to be done. Why don't you go find somebody else to do that for you and pay them the $9, $10, $11, $12 an hour, and then you focus on the big things like marketing your business, like going talking to local businesses and getting them to refer you clients and building relationships so that when another trainer walks into that tanning salon and wants to get leads from them, that tanning salon has such a deep-rooted relationship with you that they're never going to give business to another trainer. That's your 5%.
Absolutely, man. Well, well said. Hey, Fedos, do you have certain success rituals that you do every day? Like, I know some people meditate, you know, some people visualize. Do you have anything that you do on a daily basis to give you the mental edge?
You know what? I know that when I don't work out, when I skip a workout for a couple of days, I'm really off. I'm operating at like 30-40%. Other than that, for me, it's just I'm a real routine-oriented person. So my ritual, I guess, is I need my routine to be set. Like I wake up every morning, I have oatmeal with my daughter while my wife takes my son to school, right? Then I come to the office, I'll walk across the street with one of my assistants and get coffee. You know, I love parking in the same parking spot. That's part of the OCD loop, I'm sure. But it's just all those little things. And I love going to work out between 11 and 12. And as long as I know, like, I'm doing all those things, I'm dialed in. But for me, the workout is a big thing. I can skip the coffee. I can skip the whatever. But if I skip a workout more than 2 days, I really feel shitty and unproductive. And I just feel like I'm not moving at the speed that I need to be. So while I don't have a specific ritual, for me, it's about a routine. As long as my routine is being met, I'm operating at 100%.
Awesome, man. And hey, Beatles, what do you do? I know you have the to list, and that this might be the answer, but what do you do to stay organized?
That's it. Those two lists we talked about earlier. I've got a big project list where there's a page for each project I'm doing. Like there's a Fit Body Bootcamp page, there's an Add to Cart page, there's a Fit Pro Magazine page, right? And I might come up with an idea. Well, I know I'm going to see you next Thursday. So instead of calling you and going, hey, Steve, I got this idea about Fit Body Bootcamp, I'll write it down on the Fit Body Bootcamp page. And when you come, I'll go to the Fit Body Bootcamp page. And, you know, when we're talking and we're strategizing about Fit Body Bootcamp, I can go like, hey, dude, I got these two ideas I wrote last week. Check it out. What do you think about it? Is it going to work? Is it not? And so you got your big project list. And that's one way to stay organized at the 30,000-foot level. Now, to be organized on the day-to-day basis, or at the, you know, at the ground level instead of 30,000 feet, you need your other list, which is your daily list of everything you need to do tomorrow. So I write down everything I'm going to do tomorrow, and when tomorrow comes, my ass hits the seat, it's on. It's on. I'm doing my projects. I don't accept phone calls if they're not like coaching calls that are already scheduled. I don't look at my text messages. I don't go shuffling through my emails. I just knock out everything that's on my list because I know once I do that, again, I can go back to goofing off, playing with my kids, hanging out with my best friend, whatever.
And there you have it. I mean, if a multiple seven-figure business can be run off of two pads of paper, then, you know, definitely a personal trainer or a boot camp owner can have two pads of paper to run their business as well, to organize their business.
No doubt about it. And in fact, when I had my personal training studios, that's exactly what I did. I just operated off this big notebook that I would open up, and one side was like the big project side, and one side was the day-to-day side. So I knew per location what I needed to do, and it was amazing. I'd walk into, the Murrieta location, and I knew exactly who I needed to talk to, what I needed to talk to them about, what small little tweaks I needed to make in that location. And again, I cross it off the list, and I'm done.
Hey, Bezos, is there any, like, books that you could recommend to trainers that really want an edge on mindset and that you have read that really helped you?
When it comes to mindset, you know what? 4-hour work week is one. And that is by, what's his name? Tim Ferriss.
Yes, Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, 4-hour work week. And then, I forget the guy's name, but there's a book. If you Google it, you'll find it. And it's called You Were Born Rich. It's an awesome book, and now it's available as a free downloadable PDF. It's been selling for years. I forget the guy's name, but he was on The Secret. He was a gray-haired man. He was in The Secret.
Bob Proctor?
Bob Proctor, yes. Exactly.
Awesome.
You Were Born Rich. That is a great mindset book, and it completely positions your mind and kind of gives you that clarity, like, holy crap, I have everything I need to be rich. Like, I have everything that millionaire or billionaire has accessible to him as far as resources go, as far as physical capacity, mental capacity, emotional capacity. So what's missing? What's missing? And it's typically realizing the only thing that's missing is that realizing that you have everything that person does have. The difference is you were being ordinary while he or she was being extraordinary and putting in the extra time, putting in the extra focused effort, and after a year or two, they're like miles and miles ahead.
Awesome, man. And Bedros, in the next, like, 120 seconds, is there anything that you'd like to add to anyone who wants to have the ultimate mindset for success?
You know what? If you want the ultimate mindset for success, there's only one thing I'm going to add to this in the next 120 seconds, and that is cut out all your loser friends. If you've got friends who are just losers, who aren't making the type of money that you want to make, because your personal income is the sum of the 5 people that you hang out with. So take the numbers. You know, if the 5 people you hang out with make between $30,000 and $40,000, guess what? You are destined to make $30,000 and $40,000 a year unless you hang out with people who make 6 and multiple 6 and 7 figures a year. And so cut out all the crabs out of your life. Cut out the time vampires. Cut out the people who tell you can't do it, that it's impossible, that the economy sucks. Stop watching the news, because those talking heads just want to tell you how much fear and greed and the big earthquake is around the corner and the big tidal wave is right around the corner. And then watch out for that tornado, because cows and barns are going to go flying. Who gives a crap? Just focus on what your mission is. Surround yourself with the type of people you want to be like. And guess what? You're going to become that.
Dude, Bedros, thanks for this awesome interview, dude. That was super, super cool, man. You know what, dude? Anyone listening to this who's not inspired and motivated and educated on how to be successful, man, needs to check their pulse. That was amazing, dude. Thanks, bro.
You're very welcome, and you know what? I hope that I can benefit the people listening to this, and you are an awesome guy. I can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Dude, 11 o'clock tomorrow, Las Vegas.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bro. Later, man.
Bye.